Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's easier than ever to find out what others think about the Chinese restaurant in your neighborhood, that little hotel in Paris, the latest iPhone app. Just click on Yelp or TripAdvisor or any Rate Your Experience website and scroll through the reviews. But beware, some are real, some are fake, some are bought and paid for. Online reviews are changing and changing the way we understand the world. This hour on Point, we're looking at the wild and woolly world of online reviews. You can join the conversation. Do you love them, use them, trust them, write them? Business owners, operators, do you fear them? What's going on with online reviews? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We're going to dive into the whole world, and it can be pretty crazy out there, but very useful, too, when it works. Joining me now from Washington is Alan Henry, writer at lifehacker.com, a weblog that covers software and new technologies. Alan Henry, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And from Holyoke, Massachusetts, Brad Tuttle joins us, writer for Time Magazine and Time.com. He's been covering the proliferation of fake reviews online. Brad Tuttle, thanks a lot for being here.
How you doing? Thanks for having me.
Alan, first to you, how has this whole enormous world, and it is enormous, who knows how many reviews are out there at this point, how's it changed the power relationship between consumer and, seller?
I think that most people realize that they finally have a say when it comes to making product decisions and making purchasing decisions, and they're willing to exercise it at any possible opportunity. So I think that because most people know that they can buy a product, have a bad experience or have a good experience, and then go share that with other people who will use it as a reference to make the same decision or make a different decision, I think it's really given consumers more of an opportunity to have their voices heard, depending on however they may feel. Granted, it depends on how they feel, but the negative perceptions that some consumers have are amplified that much more, and unfortunately, sometimes the positive ones don't get played out because people don't necessarily have the same drive to go and have their say.
I mean, there was a time, Alan Henry, when you basically had to maybe wait for a newspaper reviewer to come around to your restaurant, which could take a long, long time, and in many cases, never. Or if you were, a pet groomer or something else, it was word of mouth or advertising in the local paper. I mean, now you've got the actual foot traffic through the door walking right out and very often saying straight up what they think immediately.
It's incredibly empowering for consumers to be able to say what they think and to know that other people are going to read it. It really makes businesses have to bump up their game in order to please those people. But at the same time, it also gives businesses that would never have had that newspaper reviewer stop by their restaurant or stop by their pet groomer. They would never have had the opportunity to have that kind of exposure. They wouldn't have been able to flaunt their online reviews when they're positive, and they wouldn't be able to engage potential new customers, regardless of what they say.
Of course, Brad Tuttle, with Time Magazine, the premise behind all this is that these will be honest consumers giving their real opinion of their actual experience with a retailer or a restaurateur or a travel destination. You're writing a lot about fake reviews. Who writes them and why, and how deep is the pollution of honest opinion?
It's really, really hard to tell. Now, how many fake reviews are out there? Now, every one of the major sites that uses that hosts user reviews, it's in their best interest to have their reviews be trustworthy. So they do employ all sorts of strategies behind the scenes, and they also allow users to flag reviews that they think are questionable. But the truth is that these reviews are enormously, enormously important to business interests, which translates directly into money. And therefore, there are forces out there that are trying to take advantage and manipulate the system. Studies seem to indicate that sometimes there's maybe 10%, sometimes as many as 30% of reviews of certain products or restaurants are questionable or fake. They're obviously the ones that are planted are ones with somebody with business interests at heart, either people who are employing someone to write fake reviews in support of a certain business,
yeah,
or to detract from another business.
I mean, and then there's the question of what constitutes, Brad, a fake review. There was this story just recently of somebody selling, covers for Amazon Kindles, I think. And they were essentially, they would sell you this leather cover for the Kindle and then offer you, if you'd write a review, they'd refund the entire cost and give it to you for free. Now, that is, in a sense, a bought and paid for review. Is that a fake review?
That's a good question. Now, it is a product that this product in question is. The people who are writing the reviews, they own the product. They've used the product. And they chose the product without necessarily being given it up front. But the fact that they were reimbursed for the value of the product in full in exchange for a review certainly makes their points of view questionable, I would say, to the average consumer.
It makes you wonder exactly what world you're walking into when you go online these days. And if you're at the selling end of this, watch out, because, you know, your livelihood may depend on somebody's mood that day. Of course, they say the customer is always right. Let's go right to our listeners. Rowan in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thanks for calling, Rowan. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I actually wanted to talk specifically about people being terminated because of Yelp reviews.
Terminated, like fired. You're saying fired,
yes,
because of a Yelp review. Okay, tell us.
I work in a restaurant in Cambridge, and we have had probably about 6 employees who have been let go over the past 6 months because of Yelp reviews, which were not saying their name. It was just sort of a description of them as a bartender or a server, and then the restaurant was like, you're making our restaurant look bad, so we're going to have to let you go. And there wasn't really any recourse or anything.
That is pretty.
Like that.
Was it like they'd be fired for a single bad review on Yelp online, and they're out the door, they're gone?
Yeah, it's not like one person is just like, oh, the food was sort of bad. These are pretty epically bad Yelp reviews, but even so, it could just be someone trolling them. It could be someone who didn't like them and posted about them. Our coworkers and I have discussed about Yelp bombing ourselves positively, just like writing a bunch of reviews saying how great we are and stuff like that. So we find it a very inefficient means of actually calculating people like the restaurant.
Rowan, does it make you nervous if you're working in this restaurant and you know that anybody sitting there having their meal could, you know, walk out, or even before they walk out, could tap out a negative review and your job would be on the line?
Oh, yes, definitely, because people even post about things that are out of our control. Like someone wanted to get a space for a private event and they were not allowed to just have the space without paying for it, and they gave us a long and bad Yelp about that and the rest of the restaurant, even though it was not relevant to their actual experience.
Well, so do you think this has the staff and the restaurant up on its toes? Does it make you into a better organization overall, or just scare the daylights out of you?
I think it just makes us more tense about everything, because are you familiar with the idea of secret shopping that used to and still happens in larger restaurants and stuff?
Tell us.
You would have people that were paid to come in and check on servers or the bartenders to basically have an experience and then write a review about it for the company.
I see, okay.
Give them feedback. So
right.
This is a very similar situation to that, except it's pretty much every customer that comes in, you have to be at least mildly aware that they could go and write a horrible Yelp about you.
Well, maybe that's not so bad. I mean, give some power to the consumer sitting there beyond just the tip. On the other hand, we can see how it could drive you crazy in a real exposed service business. Alan Henry, do you have the sense that on balance, this is shaping better businesses in this contemporary culture, or just, you know, making everybody a little frantic?
I think it's a little bit of both, actually. But on the whole, I would say that most businesses realize that they need to step it up a little bit. I mean, for example, that one restaurant that let a server go because of a bad Yelp review. obviously the person, the manager or the owner of that restaurant thought that they were doing a good thing. They thought that they were letting that person go because their customers are having having problems with that individual. So they think that they're doing the right thing. They think they're paying attention to what people feel when they visit their restaurant, and they're acting accordingly. The people who work there, on the other hand, it can cut either way. I mean, there are two sides to every coin, and I can see how it would be problematic for the person who was beat up in that review. But, you know, it's very difficult. I don't think that most people who are reading those Yelp reviews, on the other hand, look at one particular review and hone in on it. Most people take them as a general sentiment and use it as a supplement to their decision to make a purchase or to patronize a restaurant.
Boy, if you come, though, to their page and the very first review is something really scathingly negative, I mean, it's interesting here, Brad Tuttle, how consumers are handling this power. I mean, here's an empowering experience sometimes for people who rarely have power. Now they've got it. They can hold a whole business kind of in the palm of their hand. That must bring out the Lex Luthor in some people.
I think it does to some extent, but ideally we're talking about restaurants. The user reviews are so established at this point that for the most part, there are more than one or two or three reviews. Mm-hmm. Ideally, it works that the sort of the consensus rises to the top, and because one person had a one star experience, and the majority of people had a four star experience, you're going to get a better idea. And I think most people who are comfortable with the web nowadays understand that there are those sort of anomalies mm-hmm. that people have at certain experiences, you know, whether they're going to a hotel or a restaurant. And I've always sort of advised the sort of Olympic judges where, you know, you throw out the low score and the high score and you look at and you count the ones that are really showing the consensus. That's how people should view online reviews.
You've got to be savvy. You've got to be on your toes if you're the service or product provider. Brad Tuttle with Time Magazine, Tom.com. Thanks for joining us today, Brad.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the wild and woolly world of online reviews, the big role they've come to play in people deciding where to buy what, looking at their seamy side, looking at the way they can make or break businesses. Alan Henry is with us from Washington, writer at lifehacker.com, really follows online reviews. This question about what reviews are shown and why and whether good ones or bad ones are going to be up there, very much on people's minds. Yelp released a video. This is Yelp.com, a big destination, of course, a video explaining why not all reviews are shown on a business's page.
All reviews that live on people's profile page go through a remarkable filtering process that takes the reviews that are the most trustworthy and from the most established sources and displays them on the business page. This keeps less trustworthy reviews out so that when it comes time to make a decision, you can make that using information and insights that are actually helpful.
Of course, even that gets disputed. Class action lawsuits have been brought against Yelp, saying that if you're not a paying customer of the company, you're going to maybe more likely to have negative reviews up there high. Now, those have not gone anywhere at all in the courts, been thrown out, but a lot of business people upset about exactly that dynamic. Let's go to Nashville, Tennessee. Austin, thanks for calling, Austin. You're on the air.
No problem. Thanks. Recently, I was doing an apartment search, and, obviously, being a 21st century guy, I was all over the internet looking at various apartment ratings websites and whatnot. It was kind of funny to see after a lot of negative reviews, there would be a couple positive ones. And it was fairly obvious that it was, you know, the management trying to boost their overall ratings on recommendations and things like that. You'd see things like, oh, I love the management staff. They're so great.
Yeah.
I always get free coffee. It's so awesome. I hope I can live here forever. And things like that. It really, it was kind of a bummer to see that there wasn't really much of a vetting process and seeing, who lived at these apartments, who was real, and
so
what
is it,
they really had to say.
Was it still useful for you, Austin? Are you experienced enough to see through the persiflage and BS there and use it?
Being a marketing guy that's fairly big on the ground, so I'd like to think so. But it really made it sort of I guess I don't have much confidence in the specific review sites I was using and their ability to actually provide me that good reviews. It seemed like it was either one of two ways. Either somebody who had a really horrible experience and just had nothing good to say, which didn't really help me because, you know, I don't know their specific situation,
yeah.
Or the next review would just be an incredibly overly positive one. It was just a little too easy to see that it was, somebody with a vested interest.
Yeah, you've really got to navigate with care. Austin in Nashville, I appreciate your call. We're going to hear in just a moment from a restaurateur dealing with this whole world. Lots of response here online. Alicia says, I don't believe these online review sites one bit. Reed writes, online reviews require a massively sensitive baloney detection kit. Sam says a lot of reviews online seem to be people who are connected with the product being sold, giving blanket five-star reviews. To Austin's point there in Nashville, Mike says these aren't really reviews. They're paid promotional materials, just like in your local media. You want objective, ask a longtime trusted friend. Another says, in my experience, too many Yelp reviews are outrageous and wrong, written vindictively in a bad mood. You got to have a grain of salt here. And then another listener says, reading reviews effectively is not an art, but it goes in that direction. You kind of have, to get the gestalt of what might be hundreds of reviews, eliminate noises and grudges and faked praise, take the rest and form an opinion. Sounds, Alan Henry, like you may have to be a genius to figure out how to use these things just right.
At the same time, though, I mean, I love that particular call because apartmentratings.com is one of those rating sites. And
okay. It
is almost infamous for the reviews either being universally negative about a place or the positive reviews being assaulted by other reviewers as being written by the management or written by the company that manages the unit. If there's anything that people on the internet have, especially these days, it's really, really accurate BS sensors. And it's really important that they have them because most people realize that some people will only flock to a review site when they feel like they have something to complain about. Other people will read the super positive reviews mm-hmm. that say A++++, would do business again, and realize nobody actually bought anything there. That's either the seller or the seller's best friend or somebody registering an account
right.
to say something good.
Or the seller's mom or somebody who was, paid or begged by the seller to put that up. Michael in Evansville, Indiana. Michael, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Actually, I find these sites almost dangerous because people can post anonymously and get somebody fired, as that caller before said. We used to be able to face our accusers in this country. That used to be a right. We do not. I feel we don't have that anymore. People can call anonymously to CPS, and a worker comes to your house to assess if you're a good parent. These people can post online with no repercussions. I think that if it results in the firing of a person, there should be some way you could see who this person was and why I got fired.
It's no joke to get fired these days, Michael. You lose a job, you're losing a lot right now.
Exactly. I feel it's almost Orwellian in nature, you know? I do.
No, I understand what you mean, because the power can be great, and yet not necessarily a lot of responsibility on the side of the person who can anonymously make these comments online. On the other hand, in this information age, if somebody's got an opinion about a service or a product, you could make the case they've got a right to make it. Appreciate your call, Michael. I want to welcome into our conversation right now from Worcester, Massachusetts, Wilson Wang, owner of Baba Sushi. It's a 5-year-old restaurant in Worcester. It has 4.5 stars out of 5 on Yelp, and like any restaurateur these days, Wilson Wang has had to learn how to deal with the power of the consumer here. Mr. Wang, thank you very much for being with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So how often do you get new online reviews? How often do they show up on Yelp? Once a year, once a month, once a week?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty often. So Yelp gives us a very high standard rank. So I've seen them almost every week or 2 weeks, even another day. So all the reviews come out from my Yelp.
So your customers use it, and they use it pretty often. Are you afraid of Yelp, Wilson Wang?
Yeah, not really. You know what? So I think that's a good thing for my restaurant. As owner, I think just like as a mayor, I can see some good news and bad news. So in that case, I know also which direction I can go.
Would you ever fire somebody who worked at your restaurant because of one bad review on Yelp?
Not really. So, and I live in two parties. So, and I see the job. So, customers through news. Also, if any bad news come out on the job, so I always to ask my employee what happened that day, what exactly this. I listen two parties. So, I not even listen only one party. So, because sometimes it's one party is not right. So, I just wanted to make sure as a judge. So, you just. To the people for two parties.
And what about when they come on with specific comments about your, I don't know, cucumber squid salad or your nigiri sushi plate? Will you change the way you prepare food or serve it in response to what's written online?
Yes, you know what? So, and that's a good news again. So, if something some people they don't like, so I also ask myself, what's going on? Is it quality? Is it service? Is it harassment? I mean, is it harassment? Something wrong, so we need to progress that. We need to change that. Should we or when? How? So I always ask this as a mirror to, you know, just let me to think about it over and over. So how's the response and this kind of trouble we call the issue.
Wilson Wang with Baba Sushi in Worcester, Massachusetts. You're a brave man, and I can hear you surfing on this new world of consumer power. Thank you so much for joining us today, Mr. Wang.
Okay, Tom. Thank you so much, honey.
Aaron in Boston. You're on the air, Aaron.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was calling in because I, too, work at a restaurant in Cambridge,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we're saying more about the people that go out to eat in Cambridge, but I just feel like we've had people come in who actually use Yelp as like a threat. They'll say to their servers, well, you don't want me to write a bad review about you on Yelp, do you? And it's...
You mean while you're serving them, they'll sort of pull out the howitzer threat there?
They will. They wield it like this dastardly tool. And then where it used to be that people would say, let me speak to the manager when something's gone wrong, because things go wrong in restaurants.
Sure.
Now they just say, oh, everything's fine, and plotting all the while to go home under their cloak of anonymity, which Yelp provides them, and write these dramatic one-act reviews that are just obscenely, ridiculously overblown.
So, and do you think the power's too much in the other side of the coin now? Too much in the to their whim or their caprice?
Yeah, callers were talking about how then people kind of respond to negative views with like overly positive reviews. Because at a place like where we work, there's many regulars, so that they'll see these bad reviews and they'll feel like defending us. So then you get these inflated positive reviews that also, you know, are coming from a good place of wanting to protect us. But I feel like if Yelp made people say who they were and to not be anonymous, that there'd be a lot less vindictive, hateful things written on Yelp.
Aaron, hang in there. I can imagine what it's like to be under that microscope. On the other hand, I mean, anybody in any kind of public role, you know, yours truly included these days, you're going to get feedback from all quarters in great volume. But good luck. Hang in there. Soren in Montpelier, Vermont. Soren, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a cafe owner in Montpelier, Vermont, Begibo's Cafe, and we opened about 6 or 7 months ago, and Montpelier is a little bit slower, I guess, in the Yelp activity than other places.
Okay.
So we have only two reviews on Yelp, and they both were done more than 3 or 4 months ago, and they're both, you know, somewhat critical. And we've had customers write reviews since then, and all of the reviews since then have been basically deleted by Yelp. And as far as I know, I've researched it, and as far as I can tell, there's no way to contact Yelp directly. And when I started looking into it, I discovered that there were large kind of online chat rooms with hundreds of business owners who were incredibly frustrated with the fact that they couldn't contact Yelp or had no control over, you know, what was deleted. And what
so you don't know why these two not-so-great reviews are hanging around forever while the better, more recent ones are not going up.
Right. We've had several customers who said that they wrote reviews for us and they just were deleted. And I'm not sure why, and I can't really, it doesn't seem like I can contact anybody even to ask the question. I
mean,
they give you kind of you know, a set reason for why things are deleted.
Let me see if we can figure some of that out for you, Soren. Hang on, and we'll dive on into that. I appreciate your call. Justin Brookman joins us right now from Washington. He's director of the Center for Democracy and Technology, former chief of the Internet Bureau of the New York Attorney General's Office. He's up to his ankles and beyond in legal issues around Yelp. Justin Brookman, thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
What about to our caller's question right there about why? I mean, there have even been class action lawsuits brought about this. Vendors saying that their good reviews are not getting the play they need, and some of them accusing Yelp of, you know, leaving bad reviews up there until and unless they become paying customers of Yelp. What's up with all that, Justin?
Yeah, I mean, Yelp absolutely needs to filter the reviews that come in. I mean, if Brad's right and like 10 to 30% of reviews are there, they need to have a pretty sophisticated algorithm in place to try
10 to 30% fake ones, Brad was saying. Yeah.
They need to try to weed out some of those. And, okay. the algorithm needs to be somewhat opaque so people can't game it. So obviously there's going to be a sense of frustration there. And this is something that Google's had for years, right? The Google algorithm, I was on the front page and then suddenly I'm on the 15th page. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're using some kind of sketchy techniques to get higher. So I don't blame Yelp for doing that and for making it somewhat challenging to figure out. It's imperfect, but I think it's understandable and it's probably the best way to do it. Now, where Yelp got in trouble was they had a kind of parallel program where they were charging folks in town, say, hey, you know, there's a review on here. If you want to promote it, like move it up in search results, we'll do that. And we'll say, hey, this is a promoted review, 5-star review, and Dixie's Cafe gave us a little money to put it up there. And people found that confusing, right? Well, sure. Obviously, you can game the system. Like, you can obviously pay to game the system. Maybe you can pay to have bad reviews sunk. You know, a couple years ago, Yelp came out and said, you know what? You're right. That's probably not the best way to do it. We're going to kill that program. And from now on, we're not going to take any money to move reviews up or down. And they said that publicly. And having said that publicly, if they were lying about it, they can get in trouble. They could be sued by the FTC or state. So I'm pretty sure that's what they're doing. But that said, I'm sympathetic to restaurant owners who think there are good reviews being put up about them that are being deleted.
What about, I mean, I don't know how Yelp decides what goes, you know, what should be there and what shouldn't. My barber recently said, it was the first time this has happened with me, stopped me on my way out and said, you know, I got a couple bad reviews up on Yelp. You've been coming here a long time. Would you mind putting a good one up for me? Because I don't know who these people are who put up that are bad. Maybe a competitor. They're not sure. And, you know, I'm happy to. I really like that barbershop. But if I go up and write one, is Yelp going to say, no, this sounds like a canned applause and kick it down, you know, off the page?
Yeah, part of it depends. I mean, if you have an established profile on Yelp, you've reviewed 50 other places. If you review the 51st, I think they're more likely to trust that. If suddenly they get a one, you know, that comes from out of the blue, you know, maybe from a different town, right, for an IP address that doesn't really match, maybe they won't do it. And they have had to, you know, confront this issue for years now. I mean, there are sites the Amazon case, for example. If you're effectively paying someone to do a review, there's a lot of incentive to do that. And part of what I've been trying to do in my job is push the incentives in the other direction to point out it's actually illegal to pay people to post positive reviews about you online.
Alan Henry, it's interesting how many vendors these days are asking, even begging their customers to go and put something positive up. It's become that important to their business, their lifeblood.
It cuts both ways. It really does. And it just makes a really good point. I mean, people know that this kind of thing happens. People know when they look up a new restaurant that either opened or that they are interested in checking out in their community. They know that there are going to be people who are just really angry and they're really going to say bad things. And then they know that on the other side, there are people who are just going to defend them no matter what. So I think that it's key that a lot of people take them as an aggregate and take them as a supplement to their research instead of the definitive component of their research. I mean, it can be incredibly empowering for businesses as well. The company that moved me into my apartment, they put it on their trucks that we have great Yelp reviews. And you know, when I pay the guy for moving me, he says to me, hey, do you mind putting up a good Yelp review? And I said, well, sure, why not? I mean, I had a great experience. You clearly rely on this, and to you, it's important. You do good work because you know that people are going to go in and say these things about you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the wild world of online reviews, the big role they've come to play in people deciding where to buy what, looking at their seamy side, the way that they can make or break businesses these days. There's a lot of power in those individual reviews, and collectively, if you're in business, they'd better be on your side. Alan Henry is with us from lifehacker.com, follows all these issues. Justin Brookman is with us from the Center for Democracy and Technology, following the legal issues around online reviews. Lots of response here. Bree says, I love Yelp because you don't have to waste hard-earned money on bad restaurants, and I can see pictures of the food before I get there. That sounds great. Michigan writes, if you're worried about the legitimacy of the reviews, don't go by the positive reviews. Go by the negative reviews or the lack thereof. Few will bother to write bad reviews if they're not warranted. Generally, surely true, but the person could be vindictive, I suppose. Ellen says, we ask our clients to review us on Yelp whenever they can. With about 10 clients having reviewed us recently in a positive way, we only have one visible review that hasn't been filtered out. Methinks Yelp is favoring their advertisers. Justin, to that earlier, still a lot of suspicion out there as far as that goes. Jacob in Manchester, Vermont. Jacob, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I was going to say that I think the reviews are much more reliable as far as picking out a like if you were looking for a tablet or something like that, finding the one that's right for you. Because with restaurants, I actually work in a high-end place.
Yeah.
We had a woman come in one time, and her shoes got wet in the parking lot, and she expected to be reimbursed for that.
Oh, wait a minute.
And wrote a bad review, not talking about the shoes, just saying it was about everything else, and it was about the shoes.
So shoes got wet in the parking lot, and you're to blame, but if you're buying some high-tech gadget or new tablet, maybe that's a good resource for you, Jacob.
Yeah, because people are really critical, and they're going to pick apart the things they don't like about it, so you'll be able to see what you might not like about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's my experience as well. Don't know what to do about the wet shoes, but I appreciate your call. Charleston, South Carolina. Robert, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I own a dry cleaning and tailoring business in Charleston.
Yeah.
And we've been attacked by a new entrant into the market who is really not even our competitor, but he perceived us as competition.
Mm-hmm.
And four dry cleaners on the same day were reviewed with one-star reviews by a personal friend of that store's owner.
So in other words, you think he had some friend go out and give everybody else lousy reviews?
Well, we know. I mean, they graduated from the same high school the same year. They're Facebook friends from the same small town in the upstate South Carolina. So I tracked it down very easily. They were just pretty obvious.
So what did you do about it, Robert, with your dry cleaners?
Well, Google didn't do anything about it. We notified Google that, hey, this is evidently an attack. But instead, we just started asking our customers, would you go take a minute? I know you're online. The average person's online 2 or 3 hours a night doing nothing. So when you're really bored, would you please write a review about our service? And so about 25 people reviewed us on Google, a couple on Yelp. So that compensated. We're a 4.5-star rating because of that one. And we actually did get another 1-star review from a person who called our business on a day when our phone service was out and put a 1-star review, said their phone is disconnected. This business doesn't exist anymore. And that was just an odd thing.
Well, maybe, but did it hurt in the period where you had the bad reviews up before the better ones came in there? Did it make a difference to your business, Robert?
Yes. I think it actually cost us at least, if we quantified it, at least $15,000.
Wow!
It was a prime wedding gown bridal period of the year.
Yeah,
we do a lot of wedding gown alterations, and we get 99% of our customers from the internet. They don't find us; they can't even see our store, so they'll find us online. The phone would ring pretty much off the hook 1 or 2 appointments a day prior to the 1-star review. And after that, it dried up instantly for at least a month and a half, until we had 3 or 4 other reviews.
Boy, this is really serious business. I mean, $15,000 in just one piece of the year obviously can make a huge difference to a business. Robert, I appreciate your sharing that experience. Let me get one more right here from, thank you, Robert. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Carolyn, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I'm calling about TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
I've been using it since 2004. I've planned 4 really extensive trips on it. And by using the forums where the people who live there comment and give you tips and mm-hmm. routes and all that kind of stuff mm-hmm. and the reviews online, I have never, ever, by taking all these tips,
yeah.
been led astray.
So have you chosen hotels or restaurants or what on your travels?
Mm-hmm. Everything. Hotels, restaurants, scenic things or whatever,
mm-hmm.
because TripAdvisor has a lot of information on there, not just restaurants and whatever they have, you know, like I said, routes,
yeah.
maps, whatever. And I just think it's an excellent source. I have posted things on there too, and I posted a restaurant in Pittsburgh. I gave it 1 star. I'm talking about mm-hmm. the bogus reviews that I think some people post.
Right.
I gave it 1 star and told why I did.
Sure.
There were 3 5-star reviews on here, and it was like a 2-line thing, you know, what a wonderful restaurant yeah. it was, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no, these people were not there.
but
I can't be that wrong.
But you're willing to sort of put your real travels in the hands of users who you don't know, who put up reviews, and it's worked for you, Carolyn.
Oh, absolutely. And I've posted, like, the report that, you know, when I came back from the trip, which would help other people who were going, you know. It is an excellent site, and I've read hundreds of reviews on there, and you can kind of pick out the bogus ones,
yeah.
really.
Well, when it works, it can be great, and you're testifying to that right there, and you can learn things about places you've never been from people who are there or have been, which is pretty great. I appreciate your call from Pittsburgh, Carolyn. Let's go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Grace, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a dentist, and I have a number of friends that are, you know, ER docs or physicians. And, yeah, you know, we get slammed sometimes with these reviews by patients that are simply told, no, we won't give them more narcotics, or no, we can't call in a prescription for them, never having seen them. No, we think it may be a more serious lesion, and we want to refer it out to a specialist. Or, you know, whenever you know, we probably make 98% mm-hmm. of all clientele happy. But, you know, and there is no response. We can't go back and say, you know, some people are just unhappy.
Yeah, they wanted more pills. You wouldn't give them. And so, boom, you're hit with a really scathing review online. As a dentist, that could be bad, too. Grace, let me take that to Justin Brookman, because, Justin, I'm reading here. Here's a story from late last year, December, about a customer of a Sarasota, Florida computer graphics company who went online ranting about, after a dispute with the company owner, and called the owner a scam liar, a complete weirdo, 1-star review on Yelp.com. And that business owner, filed a defamation lawsuit against the customer. What's the precedent on that, Justin? Can do a dentist, a doctor, a computer graphics company turn around and say, hey, that was unfair, that was defamation, and here's a lawsuit?
Yeah, but it's challenging, right? In America, we have a really strong tradition of free speech. Even anonymous speech is protected by the Supreme Court. And so you have to prove a lot just to get to uncover an anonymous blogger or commenter. You have to prove that what they're saying was a lie, right? So scam artists might be a lie, but jerk, probably not. That they knew it was wrong, that it's something that would hurt the reputation, and then finally, that if it's a public entity, and most of these companies are public entities, that they had actual malice, right? And so that's mm-hmm. what you need to prove to get defamation. And then on top of that, if you want to uncover someone who's anonymous, you have to make that case, prove that you tried to reach out to the person and tried to, you know, settle things amicably on the forum.
Okay.
And then even then, like, you still have to balance the rights of the anonymous speaker and the person who's being hurt there. So it's a really hard test in order to get someone uncovered. Most of the courts who've looked at this have rejected those sorts of claims.
Alan Henry, you can hear, whether you're a dry cleaner or a dentist, there is so much on the line here. You can hear how business owners would really be on edge in the face of the power of these reviews.
Yeah, I mean, business owners are going to grow to realize very quickly that this kind of thing is a great equalizer. It really does, you know, where businesses have the opportunity to advertise and they have the opportunity to sell themselves, consumers now have the opportunity to go around and say what they want to say. And without getting too much into the whole anonymity thing, a lot of people choose to remain anonymous because they perceive that the business has resources, like we just said, mm-hmm. to sue people when a consumer who just had a bad experience and wants wants to be able to speak to it, they don't have the resources to sue the business or even defend themselves if they're uncovered, if their real names are uncovered because of a lawsuit. So, you know, yes, and like one of the callers said, tech reviews and things tend to be a little bit more valuable because people who write them are describing actual experiences. Mm-hmm. But it offers us a unique power to everybody. On Yelp, for example, businesses can respond. Managers can respond and say, hey, I'm the management. I'm sorry you had that experience. Newegg.com is a technology store, and manufacturers are there all the time saying, hey, I'm sorry you had a bad experience with our product. Send it to us and we'll replace it, or call our support line, and we'll help you out there. Mm. Even Amazon gives you the opportunity to rate whether or not you thought a particular review was useful or whether or not you thought it wasn't helpful in making your purchasing decision. And then the aggregate, the group of people who are doing the shopping or looking for new restaurants and things, they also have a say, even if they're not writing reviews, to say what reviews are most meaningful. Mm-hmm. And then that way, the one-star reviews that are like, this guy's a jerk, I don't like this person, and he's an idiot, and by the way, I never ate there in the first place, those reviews they sink to the bottom because people realize this isn't useful. This doesn't help me make a purchasing decision.
Yelp is saying to businesses, look, use this in a useful way for yourselves to figure out how to do better things with your business. Here's a little bit more from the video. This is two restaurant owners. Now, this is Yelp, you know, propaganda, but even so, their point, here's two restaurant owners talking about the upside of even bad reviews.
We really took the tack early on to say, okay, you know what, if somebody has something to say to us, we better listen. Because there's not many vehicles where you can actually get direct, honest feedback from people.
Well, it's kind of the wave of the future. You know, less people are reading restaurant reviews. They're reading what people are reading.
Let's go to Fred in Manchester, Connecticut. Fred, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you today?
Pretty well. What's your experience, Fred?
Well, we just had purchased a pre-owned vehicle last year from a large car dealership, and every time we bring it in for service, after the service is over, we're very much pressed by the service personnel to give them a 100% online review of a good service and everything went well, which I would believe that they want us to tell them at the time if we're having a problem and try to resolve it there. I think you guys were talking about earlier about people being a little bit reserved about doing that sometimes, and sometimes you look over the experience and have a different view of it from being right at the point of them looking at you.
Did you feel like you were being, I don't know, intimidated or having your arm twisted for that super positive review, Fred?
Absolutely, and the problem with it is if you give them a negative review, the actual person that you're giving the negative review about calls you.
It calls you, and so it's kind of like we know where you live, we know what car you drive.
Exactly, and they do. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, and it is a bit intimidating. I mean, I can't say I've gotten all my complaints resolved, but I guess to their satisfaction, they are.
Fred, stay safe as you try to figure out how many stars to give those guys. And I appreciate your call. One more right here from St. Louis, Missouri. Gary's calling. Gary in St. Louis, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tom.
Hi.
I had an experience recently with buying some pretty complex tech equipment where the vendor offered to give me free software as long as I reviewed the product within 30 days of purchase, which was way too short to give an honest review.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I needed to use it for a while, so I think that's almost not...
Trying to buy your love?
Well, I don't even know that, but I mean, by making it so short, they're only going to get positive reviews unless the thing died from, you know, when they first got it, and
mm-hmm.
I think that was a little bit dishonest.
Gary, I think that experience is being shared. I've got a colleague who, you know, she's got someone she's doing business with who says, hey, put a positive review online and you'll be entered in a raffle to win X, Y, or Z. I mean, Alan, this seems to be a trend out there. Now, people really want these positive reviews and they're willing to intimidate or try to with whatever leverage they've got or incentivize people to get in there and, you know, make it bright and shiny.
Yeah, and in the tech world, we call that astroturfing, you know, where mm-hmm. people go out of their way to find ways to make positive reviews happen. I mean, no matter what the cost, whether it's ethical or it's not ethical. And it can be a good thing because in that one case, the gentleman who went to his car dealership and said, hey, we really want you to leave a 100% review, or you better leave a 100% review, and if you don't, we are going to call you. That's a good thing. The fact that they say, I'm going to call you to find out why you left less than 100%, to me...
Well, it's a good thing if you feel free to speak honestly about what your experience was. Not so much if they just have a tire iron and know where your car is.
That's true. I mean, it's not a great thing if you go back to that mechanic at some point and then they cut your brakes before they let you take your car home. But at the same time, it does give the businesses an opportunity to say, okay, this person's at home now. They're safe. They're comfortable. Mm-hmm. What do they really think? I mean, because it's one thing to say it to my face. It's another thing to write it on the internet.
Justin, how do you think this may change our commercial culture over time when vendors, restaurateurs, retailers, anybody who sells a thing or a service, they know that they've got this sort of hanging over them all the time? Does it just... do we get just a whole lot better commercial culture where people really become service oriented, or do we have a bunch of terrified, paranoid providers, who can never sit down and take a breath?
I mean, I hope it's more the former. I mean, what I hope people can come to understand over time is that yes, you can't do these things like incentivizing people to give good reviews. You can beg, I think that's fine, but you can't pay them. When I worked for the New York Attorney General's office, I brought cases against companies that did that. The Federal Trade Commission has put out guidance say that, if you're giving someone some kind of material benefit in exchange for putting positive reviews online, or you're putting fake reviews up online, that's a deceptive business practice. And for that, we can sue you and get an injunction. And in the States, you can get penalties against companies for doing that. So I think the more that happens, we'll see a better ecosystem online.
Justin, how about you? Have you been reviewed online? Do even attorneys get in the line of fire here?
That's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever been reviewed online, but I should check.
Deal with consumers and you may be soon. Justin Bruckman with the Center for Democracy and Technology, director there, joining us today from Washington. Thanks so much for your insights, Justin. And Alan Henry at lifehacker.com. Alan, how about it? Have you got some, scraggly reaction to your columns there? Do you got people kicking back at you?
Oh, all the time.
And you just deal with it.
And it's wonderful.
Yeah, well, wonderful. They're not buying pancakes at your pancake shop, but they're reading, no question. And we're really grateful for your insights today, Alan. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Alan Henry with lifehacker.com. Listeners, you can continue the conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org, where we are happy to hear from you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.